religious journeys and
sure.
So you spent 20 years as a evangelical youth pastor, and you don't do that anymore. And so I feel like that would not be an easy thing to walk away from.
So way back in the day, I actually introduced. I was the first person in my first person in my family to listen to Rush Limbaugh, and I thought it was awesome.
Okay.
14.
So you love talk radio.
14,
15, you're happy to be here.
Well, I guess so, right? 14 or 15 years old, I was like conservative. I was Christian. I was into that, right? And I thought that that's all I knew. My parents. I mean, I could have been like junior, and like kids in my school would be liberal, and I'd be like, these idiots. They don't like. So I was all the way in. I was all the way in that side of the boat. Full bill of goods. Evangelical, Republican, all the way in, conservative. And at that point, that all made sense to me. But then as I started to read the Bible and do some stuff like that, I'd see Jesus say something like, love your neighbor as yourself. And I'd be like, huh, that's interesting.
That's
like,
weird.
That's weird. Like, what does that look like to do that? So then I was, fast forward, George Bush is president, George W. And we're talking about invading a country, and we're going to drop rain, fire down. And so we're in a staff meeting with the church, right? So I'm sitting in the staff meeting, and it's me and some other pastors, and we're debating that we have different opinions on whether it's Christian to rain fire down on this country, right? Like whether we should do that. And so it started this little crack in me. I'm like, I don't think loving your neighbors yourself involves, you know, burning them to the cinders so that they understand how much we love them. So for me, there was like a crack that started post 9/11, and I think that that got widened when it came to Obama saying, hey, we're gonna have universal health care, and me think that's pro-life, that's very Christian, right? That's like, yeah, we want everyone to have health care. I have health care, and if I'm gonna love my neighbors myself, I want my neighbor to have health care. Like, it's horrifying to imagine facing the things that you would face and not having health care, right? So I look around the room, right, we're all on board with that, and everyone's like, well, no. What do you mean, no? Like, that's, Christians aren't for universal healthcare. People need individual responsibility. They need to be, so those are the social things that sort of started this crack for me where I realized, like, I think that what I'm reading in my own faith journey is different than what I had been raised in. So that started this kind of like curious cracking where things just started to break apart and I'd have to think about everything. And once you're thinking about stuff, once there's genuine curiosity, like you're actually coming to a question that you actually need the answer to instead of just like asking a question that you are then gonna kind of by ritual repeat the answer back. You did this call and response, right, in Catholic Church where someone says something and everyone knows what to say.
What's funny about that is I feel like people who didn't even grow up Catholic, but they've been to enough Catholic weddings.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, this is, yeah, I know that this is the part where we say peace.
And also with you.
Yeah, and also with you. And we shake everyone's hand. And then, it's just remote or like the just automatic feeling. I was like, yep, I know exactly what I'm supposed to do now. And the only thing that changes is the homily and maybe the readings.
100%. So in evangelical space, you can ask questions, right? But it's like asking a question isn't a genuine curiosity of like, hey, I actually want to know this answer to. It's like you'd ask a question like, hey, are we sure the Bible says that two people that are the same gender shouldn't get married? Right? You seem pretty sure, but are we actually sure? You can ask the question, but only if there's another person there that's going to give the response, like, right? The call and response of not the real answer, not a genuine curiosity, but we're going to repeat the script of what we are supposed to say, which is, well, no, actually, right? And this is why. So for me, those calls and responses stopped working because I was asking questions I genuinely wanted to understand. And then, fast forward a little bit further, people started dropping kids off at my office. I'm a youth pastor. I'm there to help kids. Kid shows up in my office like, here's this kid. He's gay. I'm going to come back in an hour and pick him up. Can you fix him? What do you mean by that? Are we talking like pet surgery? Like get him fixed? Or, I mean, what do you mean fix him in an hour? Like what am I supposed to do? Like I don't know what that means, right? So then I'm sitting there with these kids, listening to them talk, and I'm realizing like this kid does have a lot of problems. Probably their parents are the biggest problem, right? But his journey to figure out what his sexual identity is, that's not actually his problem. That's like him being genuinely curious about what's going on in his life. So I was in the midst of being paid to be a script keeper in the evangelical church, right?
What is that?
Being paid to be the person that is performing the script of saying the right things, the organizationally approved answers.
Okay, the person, right? the response.
Right. Yeah, so
you're the responder.
Yeah, I'm the responder, right? Because here's this guy. He is he's off script. He's gay, right? And they're not supposed to be gay there. And actually, ironically, most churches don't have like a policy that says don't be gay. Now they do. They're starting to develop those policies, right? They don't actually have a policy. It's like implied. Like you just know it. Everyone knows it. So in this situation, like I don't have an actual policy I can quote this kid, nor would I, but I'm trying to actually help him. So I'm just listening to him and saying, you know, how are you? You know, you need help or what resources do you need? And in the back of my mind, realizing like this is the point where I'm supposed to say to him, hey, here's some resources for you that we can probably de-gay you, even though it's not actually a thing, right?
It's not actually a thing.
It's not actually a thing. There's and all the evidence is horrific when you actually look at the studies of what those programs have done.
Yeah.
So and I end up just saying, you know, what can I do for you? Can I love you? And I don't give him an answer, and then I hope that his parents won't realize that I didn't, you know, fix him in the hour that I had with him. So that was, for me, that put me in this thing of I genuinely wanted to help students, I wanted to help people, and I realized that what I have to say to them that I'm allowed to say, I can't help them with that. Like, that's not actually love. It's not what's best for them. It's not what's best for our church for me to continue to say those scripts. So we went I entered into kind of like a decade of like really deep research into what does the Bible actually say about this issue? What does it look like to love students? And I emerged from that a pretty different person. Like, not just like my beliefs were different, but like, I think it brought together some of these threads of like, how can Christians be pro-life and also be pro, like the first ones cheering when we go to bomb another country, right? How can Christians say that we're pro-life and then we're, you know, all for the life, and then turn around and be like, but only some people get healthcare.
Yeah. So, and that's the kind of the mental gymnastics, we'll call it, that I want to talk about after we take our next bottom of the hour break. We'll do some news, but when you come back, it'll be As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Bet you never shake the blue.